the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Well, for the week trending, we are joined by broadcaster Fionnuala Jones and also by Dion Fanning, co-host of the Free State podcast. And of course, for many years, Dion was a football correspondent as well. And Dion, I suppose the whole country has been talking about the football all week. Everyone looking forward to the game last night. Lots of people travelled to Prague, even without tickets for the game. I think the pubs in Prague did exceptionally well. I wonder, was that down to, beneath it all, the fear that we wouldn't be getting to the World Cup finals in Mexico, the United States, and Canada, so take advantage of the trip now? Or maybe it was decision that, well, America and Mexico are to be too expensive if we get there. Either way, I think an awful lot of people were putting an awful lot of store on what happened last night.
Yeah, I think you're being very calculating about people's motives in these things. I think people just said, we feel great. How do we feel even better? Let's get there. And I they went in such numbers. And to be honest, it kind of took me by surprise, like the level of
interest
of hysteria around it.
Oh, not just interest. You call it hysteria, would you?
A bit of I don't mean that as to be as pejorative as maybe it sounds, but it was extraordinary to me at a certain point. And then when I realized, well, what happened in November was so incredible that I think it just created this wave of energy and this wave around the team.
Sorry, just remind people, Freddie, the victory, first of all, over Portugal, and the fun of that night when Cristiano Ronaldo was sent off and the two goals by Troy Parrott, and then having to win again in Hungary a few days later and to win 3-2 in the most dramatic last minute of circumstances. Yeah, that got everybody interested again, didn't it?
That never happens.
Yeah,
that week has never happened before in the history of Irish football. A week like that, even going back to Euro 88, Italia 90, there was nothing like that. There was never been two games in a row
that we won,
and to win it in that fashion. And the thing that was different about this week compared to those two games, the Portugal game made no impact on expectation. We beat Portugal, and everyone said, "Well, we're going to lose against Hungary," because that's what's going to happen now. There was no upsurge in expectation around that game. And, you know, it's a game, and Troy Parrott was exceptional, and he scored a hat-trick, and he scored 5 goals in 2 games. All these things that don't happen in Irish football. Then he gave the interview afterwards, which is a huge part of his phenomenon, I think, because he gave this incredibly articulate, moving, emotional interview, which resonated with everybody. And if it happened to be not just anyone giving this incredible interview, but the guy had scored a hat-trick. So that created this atmosphere that took things to another level.
Fionnuala, have you been caught up in what Dion describes as the hysteria?
Yes, but I don't know, is hysteria fair? Well, I think it's fair. I think it speaks to the calibre of the team. I think it also speaks to the lack of joy fundamentally that we're experiencing in society at the minute. It was nice to believe in something again, and in a way that felt, you know, warranted. Like, this was a better team. This was a strong team. I think it was nice to just be kind of buoyed along with it. I will say, I know someone who had, I won't say them on air, but they had refundable flights booked to Mexico, and they were very sad to have to cancel them this morning. But I mean, look, it was a great effort. I'd actually missed the first 75 minutes because I was recording a podcast and then had to watch what happened after. I don't need to say everyone was watching. And it was just a real shame that Cheche were able to just come back and kind of move in the way that they did as a team.
But you say about the country needing it, does this again prove that football is a unifying thing in a way that other sports may not be? For example, you didn't get people getting as maybe overjoyed by the success of the Irish rugby team in recent years.
I wonder, is that just because, and maybe to agree with Dion's point, that it is a bit of like a unicorn moment, and that we've had, you know, we've had the glimmers of good and the glimmers of, oh, we could do it. Like, we could, we're not known to be good at it, but like, we have the potential. Is it that? Is it that we're kind of used to be doing well at rugby, that it's kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. But whereas this, it's like, oh, this is something to get behind because it's unusual and it might not ever happen again. I'm not sure. All I'll say is I was in the airport on Wednesday. I was not travelling to Czechia, but seeing people in their jerseys at like 5, 6 a.m. filled me with a kind of joy that I can't even really explain, to be honest.
I think it's the biggest game in the world, football. It creates
It is
a global game, and you see it even when in the reaction to the Troy Parrott hat trick. You know, we all gorged on the videos of different commentaries around the world, the world's reaction. Mamdani name checked Troy Parrott last week in New York, you know, on St. Patrick's Day. Like, it is
crazy.
Like, that's the level you're talking about when something happens in football, and no other sport that it's the only, like, you know, when the Olympics happens, that there's an element of that, but it's different sports, different things are happening. There's nothing like football.
There's also a young generation who've missed out on, Dion, you and I are the right age to remember 1990, and I was lucky enough to be in Genoa the night of the penalty shootout, and I was in the giant stadium when Ireland beat Italy in 94. Didn't get to the 2002 campaign in Japan and South Korea. And that's it. We haven't been at a World Cup since. And yes, we've been at the Euros, and younger generations have been able to enjoy 2012. Well, I don't think anyone really enjoyed it in the end, the way the Irish team played.
Well, the Irish fans enjoyed it.
Yeah. And, yes, they did. And then 2016 as well, when we had a better, and we had the big win against Italy as well in that tournament. But there's a younger generation, I think, have missed out on the joy that a World Cup brings by not qualifying.
My 12-year-old son went to bed last night and he said to me, you know, close to tears, "You've had a World Cup, Dad." You know, and that's the...
No, don't know. That's no, I know. That's, me.
and that's the feeling. And his friends were around, you know, and they were all there last night. And, you know, when Kelleher saves the penalty even, you think this is it. And I think the thing about last night that is so devastating is that they were in control of the game. And the one point I would make about this, like, I am in general, I'm delighted at the level of interest. I won't say hysteria again, but I think there's an element of hysteria around certain, and I'm not going to name who they were. There were certain people, you know, there were certain of the usual suspects showing up in places like Prague who have no interest in football, don't know anything, are looking for viral moments, are doing that kind of stuff. And maybe that's the price you pay for having a global phenomenon on your doorstep. But at the same time, I looked at certain things and I thought we could do without that. But parking that for a second, I think, you know, the fact that the match went the way it went was devastating. I think the energy that came from the supporters, the connection, and Troy Parrott talked about it afterwards, the connection they have with the supporters is fantastic. The one thing I will wonder about is if they'd won, like, there was an awful lot of emotion going into that game last night, and if they won it they had to do it again on Tuesday
against Denmark,
and
who came to us for a World Cup playoff match in 2018 and beat us 5-1.
And I remember that day because we got the first leg in that one, if you remember. We drew nil all in Copenhagen, yeah. And everyone, the mood in the streets of Dublin for that game was euphoric beforehand, and we, you know, we never, like, and it's fine. I don't think there's any way of treating this, but we never make any, we always think our euphoria will get us somewhere, that will actually bring some power and have some good. It doesn't do anything. It's great and it's brilliant and we should always have it, but it doesn't actually help in any way. It doesn't get us, like, that Denmark match, I've never known. I was like, God, we're back. We're so back, you know? And, like, everyone, we were on a wave. We just coasted into the Aviva that day, and then it fell apart. So emotion doesn't really do much. And I wonder, one thing I wonder about this game is there was so much emotion around it. So much emotion.
I wonder how many people would have gone to the World Cup had we qualified, because it's going to be so expensive. Match tickets, getting to Mexico, staying there. Would people have travelled over? These are the what ifs. If we had qualified, would people have gone to Atlanta for the second game? Would they have got visas to get in?
One thing I know about Irish fans is that they'll find a way. They will find a way.
And a credit union loan.
And a credit union loan, exactly. I wonder, is it us as well, you know, like, nostalgia is just such a big thing in society at the minute where it's just like we can't let anything go. The over, I don't know the correct verb here, but in terms of how we remember Italia 90. And obviously, well, sorry, I wasn't born. I'm sure you all had a great time. And that's what I'm understanding from media. But we're constantly talking about that and it's constantly mythologized and stuff like that. Like, I wonder, is there an element of that as well? As we just said, you know, there's World Cups that we haven't been at and we haven't had that many opportunities. So it was a thing of, okay, we're going to beg, borrow and steal to get there. And look, as I said, I know someone, they had the refundable flights. They said, I don't know if we'll make it, but if we do, we'll make it work. We'll beg, borrow, steal. We'll stand outside the stadiums. We'll get the tickets. And if not, we'll be there with the fans and we'll have a great laugh all together.
I think one of the interesting things about what happened in November was that it was so spontaneous and it actually recreated that feeling around the Italia 90, Euro 88 in a way that never happened. Maybe Robbie Brady's goal in Italy, but never really happened since, because there was always a slight self-conscious, is this as good as Italia 90?
Mm.
And I think it was Damien Duff who said in 2002, so this was meant to be our Italia 90, and obviously Saipan turned it into...
Don't go there.
We were all meant to be kind of having a feel-good World Cup, and it was something else. And every team since then has kind of felt like, you know, is this it? And expectations were so low for the last 5 years with this team that when it happened last November and you got this double whammy of Portugal and then Hungary, it spontaneously had that feeling. And even for people like me who remember the first time, it was like, this is the equivalent, because it's almost as good as it never happening before, because expectations, turns out that if you lower expectations to such a degree, it's like it's never happened.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, a spare thought for those of us who have no interest in soccer. There's a lot of things going on in the world. Sure, yes,
boring.
I know. But you'll give out to me if I start talking about Donald Trump. So might as well talk about football.
I've no interest today in the people who aren't going to talk about football. I've had a few conversations today with people, and the people who bring up other stuff, I'm like, what's wrong with you? Do you understand what happened last night?
You do realise, Dion, I will be bringing up other topics break is over. And I do expect you to contribute to the conversation. It just can't be Fionnuala and myself talking about it all.
We've got it out of our system now.
Have you really? I think it'll take longer to get it out of your system, won't it? Will you be interested in the World Cup, actually? Now, there's too many games in the World Cup, too many teams in it, 48 teams, a lot of meaningless matches to get it down to 32 teams. Games been played in the middle of the night. They'll be played in half-empty stadiums because the ticket prices are too high. They're going to be played in extreme weather conditions. Is this our excuse for now saying, no, we're not interested in Trump's World Cup?
Well, it is going to be a terrible World Cup.
Yeah,
you know,
especially because we're not there.
Yeah.
But it is. It's you know, we've seen like that is a reality about it. Yet when we're not there, we will have FOMO. But it's Gianni Infantino World Cup. It's a scandal. Like, FIFA has always been an organization with reputational issues. But
that's very sensitively put. You have a good libel lawyer sitting on your shoulder.
You know, I've it's not my first rodeo. But what he has done with FIFA and what he has done is a scandal.
Yeah.
Like, it is an absolute scandal. The FIFA Peace Prize.
He makes his predecessor Sepp Blatter look like a saint.
He does, and he makes him look like somebody who genuinely cared about football. Whereas what he's done now, and aligning himself with the Trump White House, is. It's just not what football, like, it's terrible for football, and the World Cup is going to be tarnished because of it. And even on the periphery, little things, and again, Ireland were involved in this, Ronaldo being sent off and then his suspension somehow becoming a different suspension.
Oh yeah, reduced to one game instead of three.
That is actually something, and again, I feel the legal libel lawyers on my case, that is something that is extraordinary in terms of football administration.
Adam says boycotting Trump and Infantino's filthy World Cup will be a lot easier now. And Kevin says the World Cup will be released from the orange one unless he wants into the story too. Of course he wants into the story. It's guaranteed that Trump will want it. And I presume he'll want the United States to win to mark Trump 250. I mean, America 250 as well.
It depends on what he thinks of the American team and their politics, so he might turn against them. But I presume he'll present the World Cup.
If he presents it, he'll want to keep it.
He presented the Club World Cup.
And he kept
Chelsea
the medal.
And he didn't get off the stage.
Yeah, and he kept one of the medals as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Well, you know, that's, again, you know, the Trump corruption is endless.
Okay, I'm just going to start with you, Dion, rather than Fionnuala on the next one, because you have probably encountered Jorginho in your time as a football correspondent, the former in Chelsea and Arsenal footballer who's Brazilian. But he got involved in a story this week, definitely a very unusual one for a footballer to be involved in, because it involved the singer Chappell Roan.
But it did, and it's his stepdaughter who is married to he's married to the singer Catherine Harding,
who's from Tipperary,
and a security person prevented this girl from approaching
the 11-year-old
from approaching Chappell Roan, and it's been an incredible it's just unfolded then in it's gone in so many different ways, and there's so many things about this story that you know what that tells you about sort of celebrity, you know, there's all these elements to it. Now I'm reading it again today, and it says it is thought the youngster involved is a child she shares with Jude Law. But is that confirmed?
I actually don't know. I don't know if it's confirmed. The way this story has just kind of trundled on, I was kind of surprised we were talking about it, but I suppose in the security guard in question has since come out now, Pascal Duvier, and has said that he was working on behalf of another individual, because Chappell herself came out in a very kind of lax Instagram video in which she said, a child did not walk past me. I don't know what anyone is talking about,
was it that she got blanked by Chappell Roan,
yeah.
Is it?
So Jorginho,
and then got challenged by a security guard.
Jorginho made this original Instagram post in which he said, in which he alleges that Chappell was, that the child had walked past Chappell to see if it was Chappell, that she'd been there for the concert, saw Chappell, smiled, walked back to her family to be like, oh my, because she's a huge fan of Chappell, and was like, oh my God. Then the allegation goes that the security guard came up to her and essentially made her cry. And Jorginho's point was, this is kind of ridiculous because it's not like she asked anything. She wasn't bothering her. They were at breakfast. There was no interaction. It's completely out of hand. And kind of basically the note to Chappell was that you would be nothing without your fans, because Chappell has form for this. Even in the most recent couple of weeks, she was in Paris and she's been seen kind of berating and trying to set firm boundaries with paparazzi. We've seen her on red carpets doing the same. She's really trying to change how fame looks for her and possibly for others to come, because she's had this whirlwind ride of success to the top. At the start of this story, I was like, okay, she has form for it. Probably not her best, you know, this isn't the best look for Chappell. Kind of wish she hadn't done something like this if she did. The more I read about this now, with the security guard coming out now and saying, I actually wasn't working on behalf of her. She didn't tell me to do anything. I was working on behalf of another individual at the hotel. Like, and they're apologising. I can't help but feel like this is a bit of a witch hunt against her. And even when you look at the kind of the latest update, there's this research company called Gudea. They've come out and they've told BuzzFeed that they've looked at posts about this story, about Chappell Roan and about this alleged security guard. And they said that 23% of posts were very likely bot accounts. They were looking at posts generated between March 20th and 22nd, 100,000 posts. I just feel like with the way this story has gone, I don't know. Like, God forbid a woman be a tiny bit rude, if she was. The way this has become a week-long story in the news cycle because someone wanted to enjoy their breakfast on their own.
Let's just hear a little bit of what Chappell Roan has said.
I'm just going to tell my half of the story of what happened today with a mother and child who were involved with a security guard who is not my personal security. I didn't even see a woman and a child. Like, no one came up to me. No one bothered me. Like, I was just sitting at breakfast in my hotel. I think these people were staying at the hotel as well. So the fact that, like, a security guard who was... I did not ask the security guard to go up and talk to this mother and child. They did not come up to me. They weren't doing anything. It's unfair for security to just assume someone doesn't have good intentions when they have no reason to believe, because there's no action even taken. Like, I do not hate people who are fans of my music. I do not hate children. Like, that is crazy. I'm sorry to the mother and child that someone was assuming something, that you would do something, and that if you felt uncomfortable, that makes me really sad.
Okay. See, Dionne, something else strikes me about this. Imagine a child trying to get to a Premier League footballer as Jorginho, born in Brazil, but an Italian international, played for Chelsea and for Arsenal. Can you imagine? I mean, you see all the times when players are going into matches, coming out of matches, they have their headphones on. They barely acknowledge the kids who are looking for autographs or photographs to be taken. I thought there was a strange irony in that.
Yeah, although I would say those instances are very particular to when they're actually going in to play a game, and they may or may not, you know, they may have other things on their mind. I think most of the time, if you see footballers around, they would be, within that range of behaviour, they would be quite good with kids and autographs, the same way as anyone would. I think what's interesting about this as well is that, you know, it's turned into a story about how Chapel Rowan treats her fans. But it isn't. It's got attention because it's a celebrity making the complaint in the first place. Like, whether, you know, I know things can go viral if they get picked up to the, in these days. But it has an immediate status because it's Jorginho making the.
It's sort of a mini celebrity, micro celebrity.
He's got,
almost.
He's got some. I mean, I don't know how many followers. He has. He obviously not Chapel Rowan, but like, he's going to have an audience when this complaint.
He has an audience that he's weaponizing in this position. I cannot believe. And to speak to that point of the videos with the footballers, and I totally agree with Dionne that there's time and a place for approaching anyone, to be honest, if you're looking for an autograph or whatever.
Okay, listener says this. So what if the child's upset? Deal with it. It'll help her build resilience. Talking of resilience, what about Barry Keoghan, who is such a well-known actor who's been and brilliant in many of the parts that he's actually been in. He's in the new Netflix Peaky Blinders movie. And he has been upset by the way people have pilloried him online about his looks.
Yeah, he's made this really sad admission this week. He was talking to Ben Harlam, who works for SiriusXM, where he's talked about the fact that he's left social media due to online abuse. He did that actually in 2024, but that it's still kind of, you know, he's still kind of feeling the effects of that, just saying that, you know. And I also appreciated that there was kind of this honest admission where, you know, sometimes he'll be at an event or something and he might go to Google himself to see how he looked after, to see what the response is. And then obviously you're met with this barrage of, you know, really nasty comments about his appearance and everything like that. I should also say he's sporting a very specific look at the minute because he's playing Ringo Starr in the Sam Mendes Beatles biopics that are coming shortly. But I think it's also off the back of this very high profile relationship he had with Sabrina Carpenter. And I think potentially some of her fans mobilising in this kind of online blood sport way that fans and stands do now, where just because you're a public figure, you think it's, you know, open season to talk about how people look and how they behave and stuff because they have broken up with their idol, or they allegedly, quote unquote, maybe cheated on their idol or whatever, or potentially didn't treat them very badly. That's how they're interpreting Sabrina Carpenter's new music potentially. But yeah, he said that he's found it like so difficult, especially now having young children himself and kind of feeling the repercussions in real life, where I think he spoke about an incident where people were turning up at his grandmother's house as well and kind of attempting to doorstep him. It's just bonkers.
I interviewed Barry Keoghan a few years ago, and he's one of those people who you immediately warm to and feel kind of, because he is very open and he is vulnerable in a certain way, and we know he's talked about his upbringing and everything like that, and I don't think there is very little room sometimes. There's no room in the online world for vulnerability. And as you said, when especially when a fan base is mobilized or weaponized or comes for somebody, it's extraordinary, the stuff that people have to put up with.
Fionnuala, I want to go to a serious story. Various psychiatrists and psychologists and counsellors have come together here in Ireland to condemn the use of AI therapists. These mental health experts have warned that these tools could make things worse for people. Tell us a bit more about this.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking, like, is it about time when you're seeing what's happening in the US and stuff, when you're having cases around people suing OpenAI over alleged interactions with family members and stuff like that? But yeah, as you said, the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland, the Psychological Society of Ireland and the Irish Association of Counselling and Psychotherapy have made this statement in which they're saying that, you know, AI therapy is fundamentally not good. Like, it's not something people should be engaging with for lots of reasons. AI therapy may validate thoughts of self-harm or suicide. It's not going to reflect the appropriate context that you would get with an in-person therapist. They're very dangerous because, I mean, the people that are seeking out these tools are vulnerable and they're already isolated. And as we know, like, these models are trained to be engaging so that you keep using them, obviously, because there's no business model otherwise. But they're also there to kind of support what you're saying, whereas obviously a good mental health professional would be there to obviously support you, but also challenge you and kind of bring you along the way and challenge your thoughts and your feelings. Whereas these AIs, as I've already said, are there to just go, yeah, sure, great job.
Reinforcement when you don't need reinforcement.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's really scary. I'd say it's very promising, but I suppose what we need now is more regulation over these tools. I know it's come in on certain platforms. I don't use them a huge amount, so I don't have a huge knowledge of them. But I think with ChatGPT, there's an automatic response now that if you try and ask something or try and ask for help in a specific way, it kind of pushes back on you. That's kind of not enough, like, when you're seeing what's happening and how prevalent AI is in society now and how much people are using it.
What do you make of this, Dion?
I think it's very worrying in terms of basic human susceptibility. Like, this is, you know, people are vulnerable people, and the danger with AI is how it creates this world around you that can, as Fionnuala says, can lead you to believe things that may not be the case and will always be prompting you or is always going to be there. And it is the antithesis of friendship in one instance, and of therapy in another instance. And, you know, the key thing and the important thing about therapy, as many people will understand, is that connection and that sense you may get from a therapist who actually pushes back on what you're saying.
Well, one final thing I want to ask you about is apparently the Pope Leo has been warned about an exorcist recruitment crisis, that we have a shortage of exorcists. Could I suggest that maybe that's a job that AI could do?
It certainly could. you know, like, there's a lot of worries about job losses in the AI world. But, you know, exorcisms is probably something that the Pope, you know, we could get covered by that. But it's
an interesting career choice, isn't it?
I'm kind of fascinated. It's kind of making me think, should I sack the media career in and take up a life of exorcising demons? And they need a lot of them, by all accounts. They're saying there's a shortfall of more than 2,000 exorcists worldwide. And obviously there's a want from the Pope that they would want every Catholic diocese to have at least one exorcist.
But how busy are they and what are they doing?
Well, this is the thing. Like, you're looking at one of the founders of the International Association of Exorcists.
There's such a thing.
Absolutely. Father Gabriel Amorth. Over his lifetime, he performed 160,000 exorcisms. So, I mean, there's work there if
busy
you want
man.
It, you know?
But
again, like everything, paganism and the occult have been fueled by social media. So it's as these things grow and as they amplify online, there's a need for the exorcisms to go along with it. But I do, you know, if it is the society, you know, is there a bit of PR coming from the exorcism society saying we need more help? That's always what you get in these instances.
Yeah.
You know, to the carpenter, every problem looks like a nail.
Yeah. I just realised I can't be an exorcist because I paid a witch to have good weather on my wedding. So I think that would come up in the job interview screening. Oh, sorry,
explain.
I know we're at the end of the slot.
Yeah, but hold on. I have to find out. I can't finish on that bombshell. Tell us, you paid a witch.
I paid a witch online to cast a spell to ensure that the weather was good for my wedding. And
have you not heard of the Child of Prague?
I couldn't take my chances, Matt.
Child of Prague is a different meaning after
last night. So, and you found this exorcist.
Yeah.
Not Evelyn. Not
sorry, no, witch. Not an exorcist. A witch.
A witch. You paid how much?
Like, was it like 16 euro or something?
16 euro?
Yeah.
Did you get a money back guarantee if it rained?
No, but her reviews are pretty good. So I said, I'll take my chances.
Did it rain?
Other people are burying sausages.
Did it rain?
It did at 11 p.m. So you know what? And it lashed for 5 hours.
People are burying sausages?
Yeah.
They
can't rely on the Child of Prague anymore. I don't know where the sausage thing came from. I probably America, to be honest, is the way all things are happening now. But lots of people are burying sausages as well the night before to ensure good weather. And I said no, because I don't believe in food waste. So
rained in my wedding didn't harm it at all.
It's supposed to be good luck, isn't it? Yeah. Or is that funerals?
Well, your dad has a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we can't have much luck then.
Yeah, I
right, we leave it there. Thank you very much, Fionnuala Jones and Dion Fanning, co-host of the Free State podcast.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.